back in, everybody. Let's give away a little HTO here. It's pretty easy for you to win. We've got an opportunity to win a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from, including the all new peach cobbler. It's back. You can enter by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. That is the number there. You can also win some free coffee from us, featuring free rain coffee, iced, hot, however you like it, by also texting that keyword TEA to 20357. Good luck, everybody. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Tommy, the Royals, down 0-1. You missed the beginning. I would ask the question. I do not feel desperation today. I do not. Ken, great Royals fans, chimes in. Witt, Perez, Pasquatch combined 1-for-14. The Royals were still in the game. That's a part of it for me. They were not expected to beat Cole anyway, especially with Walker on the mound. Missed opportunity, yes. Desperation time, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think they'll win tonight. I think that if anything, they should take confidence from that. Use whatever you want. You can use the call on at second base. You can use the called strike three to, you know, to Bobby Witt. You can use whatever you want. But if you're the Royals going into game two, you do not feel outmatched in this series at all.
No, I don't think outmatched is the mindset or the mentality of this team whatsoever. And, you know, I would agree with you that desperation is probably too strong of a word. Because I don't think they feel desperate, and I don't think that they should feel desperate, but I do think that they should feel the urgency. I think that they should feel, you know, the absolute importantness of them, you know, getting game two. You can't fall two games to none, you know, with then you have to have your, you know, best A game for three games in a row. I just don't see that being, you know, something the Royals can overcome. So while they're not desperate tonight, I do think that you've got to understand what's at stake if you don't win that game tonight. And that's got to fuel them for sure. But yeah, I don't think that they're outmatched. I never got the sense in the game on Saturday that they felt like they were outmatched whatsoever. It was, you know, punch counterpunch between both of these teams going back and forth. It was so much fun to watch.
It's a great baseball game.
And knowing that, as Ken mentioned, Witt, Perez, and Pasquantino didn't really deliver. They were getting their offense from other places in that lineup. And so knowing that, yeah, I don't think that you walk away from game one feeling overmatched at all. I think you go away from it thinking we can hang with this team. In fact, we can probably hang with any team in Major League Baseball as long as we've got, you know, the right stuff going. And they've got to get that right stuff tonight. I think it's going to help a lot, obviously, that they've got Reagans on the hill.
Five-game series are strange. If it was a seven-game series, it's an even easier answer. No desperation at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you always feel desperation in the postseason, but it does not feel like to me the Royals' backs are against the wall. And I think them playing free and easy, play the exact same game offensively you played, you know, Monday and you win this game, or Saturday and you win this game Monday. That's sort of how I feel about it. So there are times in a playoff series where you get through the first game and you're like, oh, crap. Like, we're going to have to play perfect baseball if we're going to beat this team. I don't think that's the case. I think Reagans against this lineup can be advantageous. They strike out. He strikes people out, right? Rodon has had two good starts against the Royals this year. I don't really know what to make of that because so much of this offense is different than what he saw. Right, in either game, between Pham and Gurriel being in there now, the second time, I don't believe they were there when he faced them in June. They wouldn't have been there when he faced them in June. And then you go back to his early season start, it's like a totally different offense out there. So I don't know what to make of Rodon's role in this, but I do know that the Royals, you know, you came into the series saying Gerrit Cole can't beat us three times in this series. And that's what you felt good about if you were the Royals. You need to certainly win your Reagans and Lugo starts. I mean, but we knew that. That's what we already knew that. Like, we knew that was their ticket. And so now they have this chance to do it. I think there is, I don't want to say no chance. It's unlikely, Tommy, that the middle of the lineup is as unproductive as they were in that game. and largely have been. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. had some clutch hits in the Orioles series, but none of those three dudes are hitting for power right now. Every day that goes by makes me think that piece will wake up. Like, they're going to wake up and start to provide a little pop in the middle of the lineup.
We also don't know, you know, what percentage Vinny Pasquantino actually is in swinging the bat. Like, I know that, you know, he's been able to, you know, hit some home runs in batting practice and things like that. We don't know what the status of that thumb is, and really, is that affecting his swing? Is it affecting his contact, the power, all of that? And we just don't know that. But I do think that even the threat of him being in the lineup, the threat of potentially, you know, being productive, that outweighs, that benefit outweighs any kind of risk on, you know, maybe he's not going to be super effective.
Yeah, I think he's okay. I think he's fine. I don't, he doesn't have a ton of power anyway. Right. He's not even, I don't even know if he's going to be a 30, 35 home run guy. But he's got extra base power. Can he get you a double? He's so patient at the plate. He's so clutch in, you know, with runners in scoring position. That's what they need out of him. They need power out of Salvador Perez more than anybody else, I would say. He, to me, of watching those three, is the one that looks the most off his game. Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't look off his game. Bobby Witt Jr. looks fine, and I think will be fine. Salvador Perez is the one who's not patient enough for my taste right now at the plate. I'll put it that way. You think about all the things in game one, them sending him getting gunned down at the plate, his play to throw out the runner at second. Where did you land with that call, by the way? I thought it was not definitive enough. I think had they called him out, they wouldn't have been able to overturn it, just like they called him safe and they wouldn't have been able to overturn it. It was that close. That was as close as you can be. That was wild.
Daylight. I'm just going to use the word daylight. I mean, you could see daylight. You could see light, you know, between the glove and the base.
The
you know,
problem, I could see that. The problem that I couldn't see, and the problem that I couldn't see is because from that angle, you could see daylight. You didn't have the angle to see the split second the leather touched the leather from glove to shoe. And that's, so you couldn't, unless they have some way to like sync up by time code somehow, both of those angles. The problem for me was that angle, you could see the sliver. You could not see the moment the glove touched the foot definitively. And so that's why, again, had they called him out, I don't think they would have overturned that either. It's just the fact, and everybody on the planet in real time thought he was safe. It looked like the throw was way late, but it's tough. That is tough. That is a tough call.
Tough break. I mean, you know, yeah. A game altering call that ultimately went the Yankees way. Right. And like, what's unfortunate. And I thought about this a lot yesterday. What's unfortunate is that particular play and the review and the controversy around it took away from what was an incredible baseball game, incredible playoff baseball with a back and forth chess match between two teams that, you know, one would take the lead and the other one would take the lead and then back and forth and back and forth. That's not what people were talking about yesterday. They were talking about the Jazz Chisholm call.
That's not what Royals fans were talking about. We'll put it that way. I was probably more bothered by the strike three call on Bobby Witt Jr. in the night
that
I was then I was the out call, quite frankly, because I thought that one was it. Like, can we get to the point in baseball? And I'm not for robot umpires, but we all have the square. Like, that technology is not too good to not be able to do a quick review. You get to a game, whatever it is, just get two strike call challenges a game if that's the way you want to do it, because it's real easy. If no part of the circle is touching the square, it's a ball. If any part of the circle is touching the square, it's a strike. How would an umpire never get that wrong? So just give in those big moments, right? Give the opportunity to take a look at it, because that's in the bottom of the ninth of the top of the ninth of a playoff game. And it was a ball.
Yeah, I think that
against the most exciting player in the American League, by the way.
Don't you think that square, though, because I think about this a lot, that square provides you kind of a false sense of like a definitive strike zone? Like, because
I think it gives us a true sense.
Maybe it does, but the umpires behind the plate don't see that square. You know?
I know. So that's like, what I mean.
What I'm saying is that like,
give them a challenge.
If you didn't have that square on your TV screen, the umpires are still going to make the same call. They're still going to do what they're doing. I'm just saying, like, there wouldn't be the, the guys on their couch like you and me that are like, oh, that's a ball, that's a bad call, whatever. You don't have the box, you don't have that context, that frame to be able to say that's right or wrong. You just go with what the umpire's calling. Now, there are going to be egregious calls that everybody knows are not correct, but the borderline ones, you kind of, I don't know, I think you kind of shut down the argument a little bit when you don't have that frame on your screen for every pitch.
But baseball has it. Like, we have the technology. Let's use it. Because we also don't have the keen eye of Bobby Witt Jr., who knew that wasn't a strike, and it wasn't a strike, right? So if we have the technology sitting there, which we clearly do, then just use it in the biggest moments of a game. Like, you just allow yourself to use the technology, just like you do with the other replays. There's no reason you can't replay that. You have the square. The umpires don't. I'm not blaming the umpire. That was a close call in the strike zone. I think baseball would be better if you didn't have the variable of a non-consistent strike zone. Could you imagine if we didn't use first down markers in football and we just went by of wherever the ref thinks the first down line is? Like, we don't allow that. Could you imagine in the NBA not going back to see if a toe was on the line of a three-pointer? Like, we have this technology. We use it all the time. But we pretend like balls and strikes are this unspoken. You can't argue balls and strikes. You can't do anything. It's sitting there.
I just don't
use it.
Even if they do, I just don't have any faith that it's going to be used correctly, that it's going to ultimately end up helping situations at all. Because, I mean, like, going back to the review on the stolen base with Jazz Chisholm, I don't know. I think it was pretty definitive that Chisholm was out. And they reviewed it and they still stuck with safe. I think that happens. That's going to happen more often than not if you just load the game up more with review after review after review.
It's not that. This one seems easy to me because if the circle touches the square, it's a strike. If it does not, it's a ball. There is no room for like the human element of that. Now I will say this, the broadcast teams use the squares. So does baseball agree with the squares all the time? That would be the wrinkle to work out. Is it the same technology across the board? Can that be somehow utilized? Because what you can't do with balls and if that's not the case, then you can't do this. Because if you're just going to try to review, like, was the ball above or below his knee, or where was the plane? You know, is the ball? You have to. If the technology's not there, then forget everything I'm saying right now. If it's just broadcast technology and not actual baseball ability to use, then everything I'm saying is irrelevant. But if it is, like, if that's the same square and it's just fed to the broadcast teams, then use the square. If in a moment like that, be able to use it. I don't know whether that is or that isn't technology wise. It just sucks when, and it's more, almost just said a bad word. It's more sucky in the more egregious calls, right? I agree with that, where it's like a foot outside and they ring somebody up. That also needs to be taken away somehow. Even if that's just somebody in New York watching and be like, yo, dude, that was a terrible call. That's not a strike. I don't know. It's fine. Everything's fine. The point of this for me is everything's fine. The Royals are not they're going to be just fine. I think they win tonight and then we start the series over in a three-game series and we'll evaluate that as we make our way through. But I think they're okay. I that was such an incredible baseball game Saturday night. Man, that was good.
It was fun. It was fun. We'll continue tonight for sure. I really want to think that at least a portion of the middle of that lineup will be able to bounce back tonight. And more than likely it's going to be probably Witt out of the three. But man, I want to see Salvi. Yeah. Have a really strong
game. It'll
be
the biggest difference. It'll be 100%. The biggest difference in their postseason is if he gets going. He is the streakiest, most, like, cannot get him out when he's going right player, I think, in the offense. The stark difference, I should say, between where he is now, which is waving at everything low and away on 0-2, to where he is when he's locked in. Bobby Witt Jr. is more consistent. That's why I wouldn't, he's a tougher out, but he's more consistent. He's always a tougher out. Right now, Salvador Perez is gettable. And he's got to probably just get a few walks more than anything to bounce that back. But you'll hear that game tonight on KFH. It's a 6:38 first pitch. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock here on KFH. Let's look at the rest of, well, no, you know what? Let's do when we come back. Let's talk KU. We'll react to the rest of the NFL tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have to. I know. I feel the same. We'll come back with it. It's all Brockton Castor at Sports Daily.
.975 and 1240 KFH.